Hi there, Justin here, the founder of The Flip. And before we start, I want to first say thank you for listening to this episode of the show. I also wanted to let you know that this series was filmed on the ground in 4 countries across the continent. And while we will always publish our new episodes to this podcast feed as well, if you want to watch this episode, please check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I've left a link in the show notes.
Ending extreme poverty around the world by 2030.
2.2 million South Africans lost their jobs.
Unemployment is the major driver of poverty.
We have to do a few things as a global community.
It is so decided.
September 25th, 2015. World leaders met in New York City for the United Nations Summit on Sustainable Development, where the UN published its 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Number 8 on the list is decent work and economic growth. It's an important one that impacts so many of the others on this list, especially the primary goal of ending global poverty. The SDGs place a particular focus on job creation in Africa. It's a region with the highest levels of poverty, the lowest levels of formal employment, and where the population is going to double in the next 30 years. African countries need to create more jobs. But what kinds of jobs? And how? There's millions, if not billions, of dollars put towards addressing this issue on the African continent. And yet, the gap remains wide. But what if I told you that the way governments and development organizations are trying to create jobs in Africa is all wrong? To make a dent in this problem requires an understanding of the realities on the ground and how that has impacted the preferences of the labor markets in question. The future of work, for Africans in particular, is not a formal job, but a technology-enabled portfolio of work. Driving around African cities like Lagos or Kampala or Accra or Nairobi, something stands out. It's the bustling activities in the streets, where the work happens, in the markets, in front of the small shops, on the corners, and everywhere in between. This is the so-called informal economy. Upwards of 60% and as high as 80 or 90% of the work in most low-income African countries is informal. And as development economist Luis Fox once said,
informal will be normal for a long time.
This is the reality on the ground and the context with which problems are attempting to be solved. Here's Janet Wandia with the JobTech Alliance.
Every year, there are about 20 to 22 million youths entering into the job market. While on this other side, on the demand side, there are only about 3 million jobs being created.
The Brookings Institution calls it a missing jobs crisis. It's not that the issue is necessarily one of lack of skills or education amongst the youth population, but that people of all ages face a staggering shortage of formal productive jobs.
So a recent study that was done in 2022 by the ILO actually painted a very rightful picture about Africa, whereby you found that Africa's unemployment rates were at around 12%, while the world unemployment rates were at around 14.7%. This 80, 85% of the people who are left out of the equation, they are thrown into the informal economy.
The issue isn't unemployment, it's underemployment, where 30% of the population are the working poor.
And that's why it's important for people to think about how do we create more meaningful work as opposed to just creating a job.
Pervasive underemployment has an impact on the preferences of labor on the continent. When speaking to users of digital platforms, a common theme emerges.
Personally, I prefer to have multiple jobs.
You cannot count on the salary for the rest of the month, so at least doing something aside, it's really helpful.
Accra is very, very expensive. I can't be tied to one particular income source.
It is currently, you have to have a full-time job and not settle just for that. You have to find some gigs, some part-time jobs for you to be able to cater for everyday needs.
There is a preference for multiple jobs, for a portfolio of work, for one to meet their financial needs. Instead of one job and one single source of income, it's multiple jobs or gigs and multiple streams of income that may come and go and vary depending on the time of year or the demand in the market. On one hand, even for a small number of people with a formal job, like Joyce in Accra, it's proving to be insufficient, particularly in an environment experiencing currency devaluation and a rising cost of living.
I've worked with Ghana Health Service for over 18 years. Because of the economic system and then the school fees too, every term they increase it. Your money comes from different sources. It's not enough. And then how much is the salary? So if you don't find anything to do, you'll be broke. You'll just be broke always.
But also for university graduates like Joyce in Nairobi, who studied agricultural engineering, there aren't formal jobs available.
I graduated in 2021. As I was applying for several jobs, I guess, I've applied more than 500 jobs, different jobs in my email. I still apply for jobs every day. There are so many graduates. If you don't know someone, you just end up in the streets hustling. A few years back in Africa, it was very common to have people looking into getting into the white collar kind of employment, the 8-to-5 with the different benefits. But the youth of today, due to the different challenges they have in times of getting employment, have learned how to shift this kind of mindset and think about how to create a portfolio of work that can give them meaningful work.
And for that reason, many people are turning towards job tech platforms for supplemental income. Job tech refers to digital platforms that connect people to work opportunities that build livelihoods. This can include gig platforms, as well as platforms for digitally delivered work and digital tools for microenterprises. One example is Tendo, based in Ghana, a platform for individuals to resell products using social media.
My name is Felix. I am the CEO of Tendo. Tendo is a platform that enables anyone in Africa to start an online store with zero capital. Our typical user is between the ages of 20 to 35. 70% of them are women. Majority, the overall majority, actually use it as a source of side income. They have a full-time job. They have a gig that's already going on for them, and this is an additional income that they're getting.
Tendo is a social commerce app for resellers. The platform has built a network of suppliers and then handles the fulfillment when an order is placed. For the resellers, after identifying the products they want to sell through Tendo's app, they can add a markup on the wholesale price, which is their profit, and they use social media to sell to their community.
They would find the products that they want, and we would guide them on how much they can price, how much profit they can add to the product. But once they share it and they generate orders, Tendo actually fulfills the order, so we deliver to their end customers and send their profits to them. These resellers act as sources of truth and recommendations for the end buyers. Their desire really is to leverage on that community to generate an income.
From an earnings perspective, Tendo isn't providing the equivalent of a full-time income for their users. That's by design. They are one part of their users' portfolio of work.
Our average user base ends right now about $60 monthly. And I think it's significant because a lot of these users are using the income that they're earning on Tendo for very impactful things. So paying for fees, paying for their children, buying things that essential things that they need. But our idea is to find something that's very easy they can do on their smartphone. They can do it while they're doing all their different other things. And then we can take the heavy lifting and just leverage on what they have, which is their drive, their skills, and the relationships that they've built.
Each job that is done by a gig worker is contributing to a portfolio of incomes. As platforms find innovative ways of creating work in Africa and in sub-Saharan Africa, they have to be aware of the context that exists here. The important thing to remember is that these solutions might not emanate from just one platform. Remember, it's a portfolio of work. People are thinking about what is the total income I'm earning as opposed to being stuck to one platform. So they have to create a product that creates that sort of flexibility. But at the same time, they have to balance between creating good economies, being able to hit their bottom line, and at the same time, pay the gig worker meaningful income.
For organizations like the JobTech Alliance and for JobTech platforms themselves, the measure of success is earnings, not employment.
Success for a job created in here should be meaningful livelihood.
For me, I just want to give my children a better education. It's a good feeling that sometimes you'll be there and then, like, salary is finished, then, like, you don't know what to do then, man. You just open to your Tendo account, you have some money there, you cash out, then yes, it's nice.
Now, the biggest question of all is to what degree job tech platforms can address the underemployment issues across the continent. Much of the same market considerations that lead to a lack of formal jobs, including demand for labor and government policy, may also constrain the earnings opportunities for any given platform. And the same concerns about dignity and meaningful livelihoods apply to platform workers who do not have the same benefits and protections of those who work in a full-time job. There are no silver bullets. Platforms alone won't solve the underemployment issues across the continent. But if we accept the fact that most Africans won't have full-time jobs, in an environment in which most people work in the informal economy, a tech-enabled portfolio of work can provide newfound opportunities and even an alternative path to formalization. On one hand, much like a financial advisor suggests building a diversified portfolio, a portfolio of work may prove more resilient than a formal job and one single source of income. At the same time, by building better digital tools for platform workers, we can also avail traditional benefits previously tied to employment, as well as other means of enablement, like access to finance. Indeed, work is becoming more flexible and unbundling from employment in the global north as well, as an increasing amount of people think about their portfolios of work. So there's an opportunity here, not just to play catch-up, but even to get ahead. But it requires that we start from the premise that there will not be enough formal job creation to meet the demands of a rapidly growing labor force across the continent, and we instead build in accordance with the realities on the ground. Because again, as development economist Luis Fox says,
informal will be normal for a long time. Yes, it's a good idea to focus on formal jobs, but we need to understand that not everybody's going to get one. Somewhere between 25 and 50% of the new entrants, depending on the country and the context, are going to get one. So we need to focus on that.
For more on this topic, check out the Future of Work podcast series we published last year, which we'll link to in the show notes, and check out the work that the JobTech Alliance is doing at jobtechalliance.com. And one more thing, if you enjoy The Flip and want to support the content that we create, please hit that subscribe button. It only takes a second, but it will mean a lot to us if you do.